Thank you again to James for bringing the announcements. I'm just glad that nobody got sick, because I was doing the cooking along with Mark. And if anybody got sick, it was Mark who cooked the burger. Okay? So we're going to turn in our Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, breaking into the chapter at verse 5. And while we're turning those or that passage up, we're starting a new series in the gospel meetings this evening. And we're thinking about the fact that the message of the gospel can be found right through the pages of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. And maybe at times, sometimes we can focus in when we're sharing the gospel largely from a New Testament perspective. And we can understand why that's the case, because it's often easier to present Christ from a perspective of a clear picture with his own words or his own statements or his own actions. But the truth is that the gospel can be found through the pages of Scripture. So we're starting this evening. We're going to work our way through each of the books. And we'll not be doing 10 or 20 gospel messages from each book. We're going to do one from each book of Scripture, from cover to cover. One text from each book in Scripture. So we're going to begin in the beginning, of course, in Genesis. So we'll take our passage here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Word of God says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come alive, or shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Amen. We'll end at verse 1 of chapter 7. And we know, of course, that God will bless the reading of his word, his precious word, to our hearts this evening. Now, we have the story of Noah before us, and it's one of those stories that I'm quite sure that if I ask the questions of the people who are sitting here in the congregation this evening, that everyone could rehearse back to me quite a lot of the story of Noah. We learn in Sunday school and children's meetings about Noah and the ark. And we could probably all tell the story about how Noah brought the animals into the ark two by two, how God brought them there, and they were there in order to be preserved in advance of a worldwide flood. It's a great story, but it's not just a great story. It's so much more than that. The story has much to say to us in relation to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah here, as we have read, has been given an instruction, and that instruction was to build the ark, to build an ark. And the Lord comes and he says to this man, Noah, build an ark. Now, of course,
Whenever you start to look into what Scripture teaches, how would Noah have known what an ark was unless God gave him the instruction? You see, it's not the case that there had never been torrential rain before and then there would be a flood. Whenever you piece together Scripture, you will find that there had never been rain before. Noah had never seen rain. It had never rained on the earth up until this point. And the fact is that God comes and he says to Noah, there's judgment coming. Build an ark. You're going to be preserved. You're going to be saved. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord comes and the Lord speaks to this man. And you see, the whole story about Noah as we read it is very simply a foreshadowing of God's great plan of salvation through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And time again throughout Scripture, as we go from Genesis through to Revelation, time and time again throughout Scripture, we will find the gospel. Time and time again in the Old Testament, we'll find foreshadowings of the Lord Jesus Christ. God comes to Noah and he reveals to Noah, the one who'd found grace in his eyes, that he was going to destroy the world, that a flood was coming, that Noah was to build an ark, and that ark would be a place of refuge, and the ark would be a place of rescue, a place to save them from coming judgment. In Genesis 7 and verse 1, the Lord comes after the ark has been built, and the Lord comes to Noah and he says, come thou and all thy house into the ark. The ark's been built. It tells us at the end of chapter 6, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He followed exactly what God had said. He did exactly what the Word of God tells us here. And then God comes and he says to Noah, come into the ark. I want to think about this evening. There's four very simple thoughts that I want us to see this evening from the passage that we've read, from the story of Noah and the ark. I want you to notice, first of all, that sin will be punished. Sin will be punished. Look with me at verse 13 of chapter 6. It tells us, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Back in verse 5, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What we have when we read Genesis chapter 6 and we see what God sees. And the Word of God tells us here what God sees. God looks upon the earth. He looks upon the men and the women on the earth, and he sees that sin is rampant. Only 8 generations have passed from Seth, the son of Adam, up to this point, up until Noah. Roughly 1,550 years have passed from the creation of Adam up to this point. When we read here at the end of the time when the ark is built and Noah is spoken to by the Lord and told to come into the ark, Noah is 600 years old when the flood comes. And for 600 years, as Noah is there on the earth, and for 120 years while he's building the ark on the earth, Noah is a witness to the perpetual rejection of God by a people who were essentially given over to their sin. Their heart was only evil continually. The thoughts and the imagination of their hearts were only evil continually. Sin abounded. It was rampant. But you know, worse than Noah observing this, worse than him seeing this, and Noah, of course, as we've read, was a righteous man. A man who found grace in God's eyes. Worse than this righteous man observing sin. And as we think about it today, put yourself in Noah's shoes. Think about how we look on the world today as believers. Whenever we hear about how sin abounds, and we think about it in our hearts, and this is just going on in our lives for a much shorter span than the life of Noah. We think about our hearts. We think about how we react to sin. Of course, Noah was grieved by this sin. But more than Noah, God was grieved by their sin. You see, God hates sin. He's a holy God. He's a just God. But he hates sin. And he ultimately will always punish sin. And God looked at creation. God looked at the earth. And if you think back just a few chapters to Genesis 1 and verse 31, when it tells us that God looked at all that he had created and behold, it was very good. Of course, that was before the fall. But in just a very short period of time, 1550 years had passed, but in the economy of God, it's just a blink of an eye. And now he looked at his creation and he sees that from being very good, it had turned from very good to evil continually. What a turnaround. That had happened because of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Do you know, as I thought about this when I was looking at it in the study, I thought not just about Noah, who had observed the increase in sin. I thought about Adam. And I want you to remember, of course, that the lifespan of people on the earth was very much wider than what it is now. Adam, the man who had been created in the image of God, Adam was the one who was disobedient to God, the one who brought about the fall because he disobeyed God. Adam lived for 930 years. Scripture tells us that. If you follow through the genealogy, he lived for 930 years. In fact, Adam only died, according to the genealogy of Scripture, around 35 years before Noah was born. So Adam had been there and he would have seen the increase of sin in his descendants for those years. Hundreds of years observing the increase of sin. And remember that every person who was born was directly descended from Adam. And Adam, as he looked around, and he had disobeyed God, but of course we know he'd disobeyed God and he'd been punished and he'd been put out of the garden, but yet he had been forgiven. And Adam looks around and he sees his descendants and all of them are his descendants. And he sees before his very eyes the progressive downgrade of man because of the fall, because of that action. Surely as Adam watched the way society was going, his heart was grieved. Surely whenever Adam thought about the fact that God had stepped in at the time of the fall, when Adam and Eve had been disobedient to God and God intervened and God stepped in. Surely as Adam looked at what was going on, he was thinking, God must step in judgment. God will step in judgment. And God did intervene. And his response, well, we read it here. Sin must be punished. And friend, this evening in our meeting, the same principle applies today as it did then. The same principle always applies. People today live their lives really with no thought of God, just as was the case in Noah's day. Can I ask the question this evening, are you living with that mindset? Really no thought of God? Okay, you're in a church tonight, but you know, you think that you can live as you please and do what you want and that it's your life, and as long as you're not harming anybody else, then it's nobody else's business. Maybe that's the thought of your heart. And you're just going on in your sin. Can I say to you, God intends for man to worship him. God intends for man to be in communion with him. God intends for man to be in fellowship with him and to live in obedience to him. But sin has broken down that relationship. And as God considers sin today, the result is still the same as what we see here in Genesis chapter 6. Because he is still and always will be an unchangeable, holy God. And sin must be punished. And sin will be punished. The punishment that man faces because of their sin is an eternity of separation from God in the place called hell. Is that your destination tonight if you step out into eternity? Are you headed for hell? Sin will be punished. I want you to see secondly that salvation is provided. Look at verse 14. God speaks to Adam or to Noah. And he says to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Make thee an ark. And as you go down through the passage, you can see down to verse 17, down to verse 18, how God says that salvation is provided. But it all comes from these four words. Make thee an ark. God comes to Noah and he says, judgment's coming. Sin's going to be punished, Noah. And there's a message of hope that comes after the judgment is proclaimed. You see, it doesn't end simply with punishment. If it ended with punishment, well, we may just close the doors and go home. If it ended with punishment, then I have no message to preach. But it doesn't end with punishment, because salvation is provided. Look at the instruction that God gives to Noah. It's a direct instruction. He just simply comes and he says, make thee an ark. And then he tells them how he's to make the ark. He gives them the exact way in which it must be built. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. There's to be rooms in the ark. Pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the length of it. This is the breadth of it. This is the height of it. There's a window in it. And he talks about all of the detail. He talks about how many stories that there are in the ark. He gives them all the detail. What was Noah's responsibility here? Noah's responsibility, very simply, was to be obedient to what God has told him. Noah was simply to build the ark. In verse 3 of this chapter, and we didn't read the verse in our opening, but it says at the end of verse 3, it says, his days shall be 120 years. God had looked upon the earth, and it says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. A season of time, a period of time. That's how we know that it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. Because God here stipulates a period of grace. And that period of grace is 120 years. And during those 120 years, Noah is building. And he's following through in the instructions of God. Because God has provided a way of salvation. And for 120 years, the grace of God is manifested towards mankind. Because the ark is under construction. It's being built. It's taking shape. Noah's working away. And for those years, man would have an opportunity to turn from his rebellion. And God told Noah to build an ark. Because God was going to destroy the world with a flood. Something they had never seen before. Something that they couldn't really comprehend. But yet it was coming. Do you know, the worldwide flood wasn't simply caused by heavy rain for 40 days. We get this idea that suddenly it started to rain and that was it. And it rained and rained and rained. And it did rain and rain and rain. But in chapter 7 and verse 11, it tells us that when God shut the door, it says that same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. You see, the flood didn't start off with a few raindrops. These people weren't there and the door of the ark was closed and suddenly there was one drop of rain and then another and then another. God's wrath was poured out instantly. The day of grace had come to a close. The door of the ark was shut. Great torrents of water flooded out from the earth, followed by the rain, the first rain that there had ever been upon the earth. And it wasn't just a few drops, it was persistent monsoon weather for 40 days and 40 nights. In that chapter, chapter 7 and verse 11, it talks about the windows of heaven being opened. It says, the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven are opened. That word windows literally means floodgates. Floodgates. You ever think about that? God opened the floodgates. You see, at that time, there was a canopy of water which encircled the earth. And the climate has changed because that canopy of water is no longer there. And the flood that occurred because of sin changed the whole earth, changed the environment, changed everything. Because it all came down. Because the floodgates of heaven were opened. You know, sometimes we complain about the rain in our country. Sometimes we get a day like today when it was lovely and warm and we wish it would rain for a few minutes. And sometimes we complain because we have too much rain. We always complain about the weather. We wonder whether it's going to stop. Do you know what we experience? The worst rain that we experience was nothing compared with what came upon the earth in judgment that day and for 40 days. But you see, before the judgment was poured out, salvation was provided because God had said to Noah, build an ark. And Noah had built an ark for 120 years. He had worked away. And after those 120 years, he finished the work. The ark was ready. And God shut the door once Noah and his family and the animals were in the ark. The ark was the only means of salvation from the judgment to come. It was the only means. It was the only way. There was no hope for those who decided that even though they had heard Noah and they knew what Noah said about what God had told him, there were those who probably thought, well, it can't be that bad. We don't really understand it. It can't be as bad as what he's making it out to be. There were those who hoped for the best. Those who tried to survive their own way. And here's the truth. Those outside the ark all perished. All perished. Because the intensity of God's wrath against sin was such and is such that sin will be punished. And there's no escape from that. You're either in the ark or you're not. You're either in Christ or you're not. The ark, you see, is a picture for us of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it was the commentator John Phillips who said, the plan of salvation for the ancient world was the same as for today. There must be a response to God's word and a deliberate turning to Christ, because he is our ark and salvation is only available in him. You want salvation from the judgment which is surely to come? Then you have to come to Christ. You want salvation from the wrath of God? Then you have to come into the ark. The Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and came to this old world and went to a cross and suffered and bled and died and took the wrath of God poured out upon him for your sin and for my sin. And he is the ark. He is the only way. He's the way of salvation. There is no other way. Sin will be punished. Salvation is provided. I want you to see as well that safety was preached. You see, we could say, well, if they didn't know that there were, that what rain was, they didn't know what a flood was, they didn't know what an ark was, how did they know what to do? Well, we know that they know what to do because the Word of God tells us. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, and then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, we get this found in the New Testament because it speaks about Noah. And in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, it says about how God spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was a preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. And in Hebrews 11 and 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Those things that had never happened, the flood and rain and everything that comes with that. It goes on and it says, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. How did he condemn the world by it? Well, he condemned the world by it because the provision was made, and the proclamation was made, and the gospel was preached, because Noah said, you need to turn from your sin, you need to repent of your sin, you need to come into the ark, because judgment is coming. You see, there's further evidence of the grace of God here being extended to mankind in these actions of Noah. As Noah labored while building the ark, you can see him there and he's hammering away and he's building away. But while he's building, he's preaching. And he's telling people about their need to come into the ark. And he's telling people about God's judgment. And as those people came along and Noah said, God's going to send a flood. And they laughed at him. What's a flood, Noah? Noah, you've lost it. You don't know what's going on. You've lost your mind. How's that ever going to happen? There's never been anything like that before. Noah just kept preaching. And while they ridiculed, while they said, why would you build an ark? Why would you do something like that? Noah, why are you giving up all of this time of your life? 120 years. Why would you build an ark? What will the ark do? When rain comes, what's the ark going to do? It's just, if it rains, well, what's that going to do? What does rain mean? And they're thinking, what's the ark going to do? They wouldn't have had a concept or a picture of how an ark would sail, of how it would stay afloat, of anything that would happen with the ark. And I'm sure that when we think about this, how they mocked him. And yet the Word of God calls him a preacher of righteousness. He worked, he labored, and he preached. Can you see him? Can you see him just preaching away and hammering away for 120 years, simply being faithful to his God? Hebrews 11 tells us that he was warned about things not yet seen. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me Noah had to operate by faith. Because he didn't know what rain was. He didn't know anything about a flood. He'd never experienced it either. So he had to live by faith. And he trusted God. And the flood came. And the people who laughed and ridiculed and wouldn't come into the ark faced the judgment and the wrath of a holy God upon sin. Do you know there's many today who reject God. And they ridicule those who believe on him. And we know that's the case. We know it to be true. And yet for us, the principle is still the same. We tell others about Jesus. We tell others about the one who died to save them. We keep preaching that there is safety from the wrath which is to come. The Word of God tells us that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So we shouldn't be surprised when people laugh at the message of the gospel. And maybe tonight you're in the meeting and you're thinking, I don't believe anything that man's saying. Don't believe a word of it. I'm only here because somebody wants me to be here. That's what the people in Noah's day thought. And then the flood came. Matthew says in Matthew 24 and verse 39 that they were just going about their business. They were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving and marrying. And then the flood came. Took them all away. They faced the judgment of God. You see, life was being lived for self. And then judgment came. What if Christ was to return tonight? What if the Lord Jesus Christ was to come back tonight and the church of Jesus Christ was to go with him? Would you go? Would you be left behind, destined for judgment because you rejected Christ? You see, the Bible tells us that Christ died to save sinners. The Bible tells us that those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Will you come to Christ tonight? Sin will be punished. Salvation was provided. Safety was preached. As we finish, can I say to you with a warning, spurn it at your peril. Genesis 7, verse 21 to 23. And this is after the flood has come. And Noah and his family and the animals are all in the ark. And Genesis 7, 21 says, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast. And of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground. Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. These people had heard the invitation. They'd heard it for 120 years. And bear in mind the extensive lifespan of the people that we've talked about at that time. Many of those who were there on day one, when Noah started to build that ark, many of them were still there on the last day when the ark was completed. Noah labored for 120 years. By the time the ark was finished, he was 600. There were others there who were living that life and that lifespan. And they had heard the message for 120 years. They heard the invitation time after time after time. And as Noah built, he shouted and he cried out, come into the ark! Come into the ark! Flee from the wrath which is to come! He kept on preaching. And they rejected him. Not only did they reject Noah, but much more importantly than this, they rejected the Word of God. And after 120 years, only Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives entered the ark. And there's a message there about faithfulness for those who labor for the Lord. We may never see the souls that have trusted in Christ. Noah preached for 120 years and only his family entered the ark. The rest of the world rejected it. As I thought about that, I thought about how sad it was that they rejected God's offer again and again and again and again. And yet, people still today reject God's offer of mercy again and again. And there's people in our land, there's people in our village, there's people in our families who have heard the gospel so many, many times. Maybe that's you tonight. You've heard the gospel many times. And maybe you're still hearing the word and you're still hearing the truth and you're still rejecting. But just like in these days, just like in Noah's day, the period of grace that was extended by God, those 120 years, they came to a conclusion. And God stepped in. What if this was the last time that you heard the gospel? What if this was the last time that God spoke to you through His word? What if this was the last time that you had to get right with God? What is your choice? Is it death? Or is it life? Because that is the stark reality of what we're preaching here. It's eternal life. Or it's eternal separation from God. You're not saved tonight. There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open. And you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin. And you come as a sinner to Jesus. And you come to Jesus tonight. And you put your trust in Him. And have your sin to be dealt with. I trust that you will. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn. The words will come up on the screen. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost He offers free to all. And we'll stand to sing, please, after the key.